at the donut.
All right, guys, we are live, and welcome to the Exit the Donut podcast edition 2015. With you, as always, is Richie, coming to you from Tampa, Florida, and with us on the same stream this time is...
This is Amy, here in St. Louis.
And I'm Mike, and I am very bitter that my team is not in the NCAA tournament, so I have turned to movies as a way to...
Oh, geez. Now, for the record, Mike, who's your team?
Well, my team this year is Florida, and it's not good. It's bad.
Yeah. And I do miss that. I had a lot of friends who, in past years, have said it's great. It's great. Great to be a Florida Gator. And not so much of that this year, I don't think. So I do apologize, and I empathize with you.
The banners, we cloak ourselves in the banners.
All right, guys. So is this our first podcast of 2015?
Yes.
Yes, okay, so we apologize that it's been, like, a little bit too late, but we always like this time of the year because, you know, all the announcements for, like, all, like, the new movies and all the stuff are pretty much set by this point, especially, so in April, by this point, we got a slew of summer movies that are coming out, so that's really what this podcast is going to be about. So Mike, Amy, and myself are going to kind of walk through kind of, like, the big movies to kind of, like, look out for. They'll be coming out this, and want to get your input, you know, wanting to hear, like, whether you're pretty excited about a couple of the movies, and we'll kind of give our little input. And we have actually quite a bit that'll be coming on, like, during, like, the summer months, so we'll just get right into it. So the first one that we're going to talk about is probably actually going to be coming out in the next couple of days. I don't know if you really consider this a summer movie, but Furious 7 is going to be coming out. So are either one of you excited about this movie coming out at all?
I was not into the... Well, I loved the first movie. The first movie was great, but I dropped out. The second movie I didn't like, so I didn't really see any of them until I saw the sixth one with you, I think, in Florida a couple years ago, and it was great and terrible all wrapped into one. Like if you, as long as you turn your brain off, it's just so much fun. And, like, so, yeah, I'm totally stoked. I went back and rewatched... or watched for the first time the Fast Five, or whatever it's called, the fifth one. And I liked that one, too, though I liked the sixth one better. I just, the sixth one was really great. So early reviews say it's pretty good, so we'll see.
Right.
And who doesn't want to see a car leap from one building to the other, you know?
Oh, gosh. I forgot what the title of that car that's featured. Amy, do you have any feelings about Furious 7? Is it something that you've ever been into at all, or are you pretty much an outsider when it comes to that, the Fast and Furious franchise?
I absolutely love the first one. I have probably seen it, I don't know, 2 dozen times over the years. Not recently, but the second, third, the Miami one I've seen parts of. I think that's the third one. The Tokyo Drift one I saw, which was, it was okay, but, you know. I didn't see the fourth one. I did see the fifth one. I have not seen the sixth one. So, I mean, I think there's enough of the story that you don't necessarily have to see each one of them to kind of pick up what's going on. And they're always fun. I haven't seen it. I figured if we're going to go see it, I'll watch it just so I've seen them all. But
it's the airplane takeoff.
Well, you showed me that scene. I've seen that scene.
Dude. Like 1,000. Somebody did the math on that for the climax sequence in Fast 6 or whatever it's called, is them trying to get on and then back off of a cargo plane on what has to be the world's longest runway. Somebody did the math on it, and the amount of time it takes to run the scene through. Like, they would have gone, like, 6 or 7 miles.
Yeah.
And the longest runway in the world was, like, half of that length or something. It was something crazy. But it's super fun. I mean, it's just super fun.
Let's be honest. I think that after the Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift, which was the third movie, a lot of people thought that was pretty much, like, the end of the franchise until Vin Diesel made his little cameo at the end. And the response from that one kind of tying it all for the circle really, really made it kind of big, and I think introducing the character of The Rock's character in the movie really, really kind of reinvigorated, like, the action part, because it was kind of cool to see, you know, almost like having I noticed that, like, the way that these movies happen is that they've been starting to, like, bridge, like, martial arts. Like, well, okay, I take this back. So they had, like, the caper aspect that came in, like, Fast Five, right? So they had, like, almost like an Ocean's 11. They started tying, like, that element. And then they started bringing in, like, rivals. Like, Number Six was about, you know, like, trying to, like, have, like, bring, like, the family, like, back together. And, of course, we got that Paul Walker thing that's going on, so I think there's a little heavy heart that's coming around with this movie as well. So I'm expecting big things. Yeah, that I think the crazy thing about this new movie is that that car that you were talking about, that we were talking about, that jumps from, like, one building to the other one. I mean, that's, you know, I love shows like Top Gear, and it's so cool to see, like, all these different cars. I think it's called the Lycan Hypersport, and I think it's priced at $3.4 million. I think there's maybe, like, seven that were made, and I think it's, like, Saudi Arabia's, like, first, like, car. It's unbelievable.
Is that what you're saying?
No. But I did see something today, and I was almost going to post about it.
Not a Lycan kind of thing, so, yeah. All right.
Interesting.
Well, I'm excited about, you know, that movie, so that's...
Interesting. Fast and the Furious 6 has something in common with one of the movies on our list.
Really? Yeah. All right. Well, let me know if we when we get to that one and see if we can tie it in. So, all right, guys. So the next big one after this one is definitely going to be The Avengers, The Age of Ultron, which is the follow-up to the regular Avengers movies. Again, you have Joss Whedon. So what are your expectations about this movie as you've been seeing, like, all the previews and stuff leading up to it? Are you kind of excited about it? Do you think they're trying to do too much? Are they showing too much in the previews? What do you guys? What's your take on those ones?
Well, I mean, we've over the last couple of weeks, we've been with in our downtime because there hasn't been as much going on. We've been watching all of the Marvel movies leading up to it, so that we're, you know, kind of like caught up and everything. This will actually, I did not see the first Avengers in the theater, so I'm super excited. I know. That was pre-Mike, and so I wasn't on the Marvel bandwagon.
You must be worthy! Watch the Avengers!
My first Marvel movie I saw in the theaters was... I think it was the third Iron Man. Yeah, I think that was the first one. I mean, I've seen them all at this point, so I'm sorry, I'm such a disappointment, Richie.
God, Amy, I asked you to do simple things over here, all right?
I'm excited. I think it's, you know, I don't know if it's from, you know, but I do know how big the first one was, and I don't know that you can, just like anything with a sequel, I don't know that you can ever recreate that magic of uniting the team, and, you know, there's nothing, but I'm so excited about James Spader. I love him. He's awesome, so I'm excited about his role. So, we'll see.
It's so weird, because, you know, do we have a fourth host? I love it, so... my big thing is that, you know, speaking of James Spader, you know, lately we've been seeing him in a lot of, like, really cool roles. You know, he's got that great show on NBC right now, and I'm always used to remembering him from that show that he had with, William Shatner, that was on, I think it was, what was it called?
Boston Legal, was that it?
Yeah. Hilarious show, and I was on that network, so it's kind of cool to see him as, like, the villain. Mike, any thoughts about the movie that's going to be coming out? Any expectations at all, or...?
So, I like Joss Whedon. I'm a big Joss Whedon fan. Firefly is great, and, you know, I like all of his other things for the most part. I'm concerned. It's hard to do it twice, and the marketing has been so underwhelming. It's going to do well because it's Avengers. I'm going to enjoy it because it's Avengers, but I don't know that it's going to be a step up. And I'm hoping it is. It kind of feels like, with the way they're doing the marketing, a little bit like Iron Man 2, which I like, but it's not one of the better ones of the Marvel movies, because they're stuffing a lot of stuff into it. And I'm just really afraid we're going to get Faceless Army number 2, and the Faceless Army this time is going to be a bunch of robots instead of a bunch of you know, aliens that mysteriously die when their ship explodes. But it should be really great. There's some really cool stuff in the previews, and I'm on Team Ultron. What I will say is I'm going to be really disappointed if, like two or three Avengers don't die in this movie. I think they're going to. I'm hopeful that they're going to, and I'm hopeful that they're going to stay dead. But we'll see. I'm on Ultron. I want Ultron all the way, baby.
Mike, you're in the wrong business because, as we all know, if you die in the Marvel or the DC universe, or really any character universe, there's always a way to bring back people. So what I'm hoping for...
Let's kill them for the entire movie. Like you know, I mean, half of the... Like, Coulson's the only one that died in a whole movie. And if they kill one more woman, like, the only ones that die and stay dead are the women.
Who died?
Frigga dies in Thor the Dark World. Let's see, who else?
Then they got, or who's the chick, like, the right hand?
You guys are terrible movie fans.
In which movie? What are you talking about? Marvel with their names.
In which movie?
It's like the one who, she's in S.H.I.E.L.D. She's like one of the leaders. She's like second in command in S.H.I.E.L.D. Didn't she die?
No, Maria Hill.
Yes, Maria Hill.
No,
she
didn't die.
Oh.
Remember she was in the Winter Soldier?
Yeah, she's the end of the world, Winter Soldier. She's getting interviewed by Stark to be
that's right.
Base company.
She'll be Smothers, which is pretty awesome.
Could be really cool. I don't know. What do you think?
I think I have the same expectations. You know, one of the things I was hoping of is that they kind of changed up the team a little bit, and they didn't really rework the roster this time around. I think they're just adding to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, like, how they're going to go about, you know, they're kind of, like, taking some... What I'm hoping is that after this movie that the characters change. If you want them to die and everything, that's cool, you know. Like, you know, you can always bring them back, I guess. But I'm hoping that the roster changes up here in a little bit. We've got so many... I mean, once Marvel announced all those different characters, you know, like, Phase 3 that we have going out, we have Ant-Man, who is really part of the original... Avengers team. You can have Doctor Strange will be coming out after that. You've got Captain Marvel. You have so many things to kind of like change it up a little bit. So that's what I'm hoping for this movie. You know, I'm just expecting like big action. You're right. Like, I'm expecting a little bit more conflict. And I hope. And you're right. I think there's more potential for it. I don't know if it's going to do quite the same numbers that Avengers did, because the first Avengers was such a dream project to, you know, for a setup, you know, to do all those individual characters first and then bring them all together in, like, one movie. No one had really done that before, and it's very much how the comics work. So I don't know if it's going to have as much air of, like, you know, a momentous occasion or anything like that. But, you know, we'll see. So I'm always excited to see Robert Downey Jr., you know,
What do you think it'll do opening weekend? So... Avengers did almost $200 million. Iron Man 3 did about $185 million, and they're thinking that
in the opening weekend,
Furious is going to do about $115 million on opening weekend.
I'm thinking probably like in the higher like one, easily like the 180s, easily, because it is what it is, and because they have all these they have like the marathons going on where I think some people can watch all those movies ahead of time. They have the double features, which maybe one of us will be doing on April 30th. Who knows? That person might be doing the double feature of the first Avengers that leads into the second one. Why not? Because you might get a free poster, put a plug-in for AMC. You know, there's going to be how many different types of shows? So you have IMAX, you have like IMAX 3D, you have real-time 3D, you have like the regular showing. So, you know, I think it's going to do big. I really want it to dethrone. I really want it to dethrone Avatar. God, I hate that Avatar is like the number one movie of all time. It's so ridiculous. That movie does not deserve to be like number one. Avengers should be number one, so.
But it was groundbreaking.
There was nothing groundbreaking about the friggin' Avatar. It really, really wasn't. Okay. What was groundbreaking about it? Tell me.
Did you see it in the theaters?
Yes, I saw it in the theaters.
It was the most amazing visual experience I've ever had in a theater, ever. It's not close. There's nothing close.
The technology was already laid before from movies like...
I don't care who had it before. Nobody did it like that. It was so colorful and so, like visually...
Oh, you're that guy!
colors. I like colors. Ooh, blue and green.
Yes,
and
I red.
Oh God, it was so like ridiculous.
The story was you know, Ferngully, but
no, the story was Dancing with Wolves.
Yeah, it was Dancing. Well, Ferngully meets Dancing with Wolves.
Yes, meets fucking, I don't know.
And Dancing with Wolves won the Best Picture.
What?
Yeah, look it up.
Whatever. It was stupid. So, I whatever. I'm pro Avengers, so I'm pretty excited about like that one that's coming out. So
I'm pro Ultron.
And what's cool, you know, what the cool part is about the Avengers is that like the always in Avengers movies marks the end of a phase. So we're actually through Phase 2, which is pretty awesome, and now we can get on with a really really obscure character. So, are you guys looking forward to seeing like Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange?
Yes.
I'm really excited to see who they're going to cast for Captain Marvel, because that's going to be the first female-driven movie. You have Black Panther, which is going to be, you know, that's another big character, like, featured in the series. You have Ant-Man, which is going to be another obscure character. And it really is weird how they're going to tie all this in together. And, you know, I'm pretty excited for it. So, all right, so I'm going to go around. I made a list of movies that I'm actually looking forward to. So these next ones aren't necessarily going to be, like, the big budget like summer movies, but I think they're definitely ones for checking out. Pitch Perfect 2. Are you guys gonna go see that at all? Did you like the first one, or did you think it was good like comedy the entire way around?
I ever saw the. Was that the base? Was it a baseball movie? Like the summer baseball thing? No.
It was I don't know if it was a musical, but it was like a female led comedy, right?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't see it. I heard it was good. It's what's her
you
name?
Both of you haven't seen it yet? Oh my goodness!
I heard the name, but for some reason I was thinking. Oh, you know what I was thinking? There was a I don't know what his name is. He's like a nobody now, but he was like a teen heartthrob. But it was like him and Jessica Biel. That's what I'm thinking of. But that was,
I know what you're talking about. Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah, pretty good, yeah. But it's like a pitch, it's about, like, it has pitch in the name of it, so maybe that's what I was thinking.
I thought you were thinking about Fever Pitch or something like that. But anyway, if you guys get a chance to see this movie, it is good, just feel-good comedy. It's like a better version of Glee in my head. Like, Glee was so over the top and was so political for, like, whatever reasons, which is good because it was, like, groundbreaking to bring. I think you can only bring up certain issues in that kind of environment. But Pitch Perfect, I thought, was a really, really great movie. Elizabeth Banks was both the producer. I think she was also a director as well, was also starring in the movie. So I like Elizabeth Banks' comedy. So
I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah.
I heard it was really good. It's just one of those things that slipped through the cracks for me.
Oh, gosh. If you guys get a chance to see Pitch Perfect, it really, really is good. I mean, you have Anna Kendrick, who kind of stars, you know, she's like basically like the female like lead, like you kind of, she's kind of your narrative to the story. You kind of follow her to see like what's going on. You have a couple of people like Brittany Snow, who's from the Tampa area. You have Rebel Wilson, who plays a character named Fat Amy, which is always like hilarious if you get a chance to see that. So it's really really good. Let's see here, going on to my list. All right, Tomorrowland.
Yes.
It's the pan one?
No.
No.
What are you thinking of that?
The one where the girl picks up the coin or the pin and like it zaps her into Tomorrowland.
Okay.
The world. And George Clooney's like, I think it's George Clooney, right? He's like an old hermit that lives in a weird house. And I don't know what it's about. I saw the second trailer, which was more of a like, here's what the plot is.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really know what it's about. It gave you a little more. All I needed to see was the initial teaser and to know that Brad Bird did it. And
yeah.
I mean, Brad Bird did two of the best movies in the last 12 years in The Incredibles and Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. And he took what I thought was a dead franchise and made it great.
Yeah.
It was really good and different. And I'm stoked. He's awesome.
Yeah, I really do like Brad Bird as a director. I actually got a chance to meet him a couple of years ago. They were in town picking up sites for doing their thing, and incredibly cool guy. And I love how mysterious that this project is going to be. You know, they're being, not a whole lot is being given. And you know, you've seen movies like Pirates of the Caribbean, which is based off a ride, same thing like Haunted Mansion. So this is a whole entire area. It's the same name of the area in Magic Kingdom that has, like, Space Mountain, like, the rockets, the Monsters Inc. Laugh Floor. So I'm pretty anxious to see, like, where they're going to go with this story, like, you know, what kind of framework they're going to build around it. So
is this a franchise? It's Disney? Owned by Disney?
Yeah. Definitely owned by, like, Disney and George Clooney. And I really know nothing about it, you know? Like, you can, like, if you go to Wikipedia, there's a couple of things, like, you know, to see what it's about. And it is based on that futuristic land, but, you know, it's really kind of cool to build an entire theme area rather than an individual ride. And that's something, you know, that Disney, I really had zero expectations about how they were going to do Pirates of the Caribbean way back when in the day. Amy, are you a fan of the Pirates of the Caribbean series at all, or?
I have not seen the most recent one, but there again, the first one was great. The second one was, I think they're fun, but the stories are not great, you know.
Yeah, well, people definitely seem to love it, you know, definitely, yeah. You know, even like Johnny Depp in there too, so.
I get why people like him. Like I said, the stories are fun, the characters are fun, but, you know.
All right, guys. So, you know what I haven't been saying? Let's go ahead and talk about some of the, as we're going, like, through this list, let's go ahead and go through, like, when these release dates are. I am going in order in which they're being released. So, again, yeah, Fury 7, which is coming out in the 3rd. So, basically, like, the next couple of days, you have Avengers, which is going to be May 1st. You have Pitch Perfect 2, which is going to be May 15th. You have Tomorrowland, which is going to be May 22nd. So it seems like almost like every single week. And then so that brings us to our next one. A few weeks after that, we have Jurassic World. So we're going to go ahead and let Mike take the reins on this because I feel like Jurassic Park is kind of like his like genre and like whatnot. So you've seen a lot more of the bigger previews. Are you liking the direction that they're taking in it where they're throwing in that genetic manipulation element? Is that something you're looking forward to? Or what are you looking overall to about the entire movie, Mike?
Are there going to be dinosaurs?
I think one or two.
Will they eat people?
Some. Probably.
I'm in.
Okay.
Yes, I will go see that movie on opening day. My favorite movie of all time, probably still to this day, is Jurassic Park. I went and saw it when it was re-released in the theater, and it's just wonderful. It's just one of the greats ever. Nothing will ever replace what it was like seeing a dinosaur on screen like that for the first time. It was the first time anything like that was ever around. I imagine that's what, you know, our parents' generation felt like when they saw Star Wars. Jaws, for all of the fun of Jaws, and Jaws is a spectacular movie. It's one of the best, probably 10 ever. But the shark doesn't look that real. But Star Wars looks pretty real. And the dinosaurs at Jurassic Park still, to this day, I mean, it was released 22 years ago, they still look really great. I'm not very excited by what I am seeing with the previews, no. The raptor plan that Star-Lord has as he's motorcycling through the jungle has me very concerned about what the direction of the movie is. I also have no faith in Steven Spielberg and his creative team when it comes to this franchise because they took The Lost World, which was a really pretty good book, and they mucked it up big time with the way they decided to do the ending. And then Jurassic Park 3 was basically, and you came up to Gainesville to see Jurassic Park 3 with me in college. And, I mean, it was just like, there was nothing. It was like, oh, let's drop some people off on an island. That movie today would totally be a sci-fi movie on a Friday night.
Absolutely.
And, you know, just having a dinosaur on screen isn't enough anymore.
Right.
But, like, mixing dino DNA and, like, I like that the park's going to be open. I like that they're trying to do something different. It looks like Chris Pratt's character is probably going to be a cross between the Dr. Grant character and the character of the hunter guy, I can't remember his name, the guy that, clever girl, as the raptor jumps on him and kills him at the end. And so that should be interesting. I'm they bring back one of the doctors, the guy that opens the shell in the original movie and shows the baby dinosaur being born. He's in this movie too. And so we'll see. It could be very interesting. I really like their marketing campaign. I think it's really interesting. Mm-hmm. The way that they're going about it. I just don't like what I'm seeing from the story. But it's dinosaurs on screen, and I'll see it 5 times because it's dinosaurs on screen.
Amy, did you have a similar impact when you saw Jurassic Park, like, earlier?
No, I was a dinosaur kid. There are space kids, there are Star Trek kids, there's comic book kids like you were. I was a dinosaur kid.
I was a dinosaur kid, too. There even used to be a toy I loved when we were growing up that was, like, it had dinosaurs. It had people riding like dinosaurs. It was pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. So I don't know where I was going with that one, but I'll explain it like later. So
I mean, as far as I go, I grew up, my dad and my brother were huge Michael Crichton fans of the books. So I grew up with those stories. I did not see the original one in the theaters. I probably would have been terrified. But I did see it during the re-release, and we get to see it in 3D, which is awesome. So I'm excited about it. I read the original book, and I read The Lost World, but I don't think I ever saw the third. Well, I might have watched it here with you. I might have watched it on TV, the Jurassic 3, because that's the one with Goldblum comes back and his daughter, right?
No, that's the second
one. That's two. Okay, that's the one I've seen then. So maybe I haven't seen
it. Yeah, the third one they have I can't remember what the name of it is. They have a bigger, badder T-Rex kind of dinosaur.
Crocosaurus or something like that.
And it did
the Jurassic Park faux pas, which is to kill the Tyrannosaurus Rex. You don't mess with my Tyrannosaurus Rex. And when that happened in the third one, I just remember people were up in arms. Like, that was a big thing. They're like, they were very sad, ironically, even though, like, the Tyrannosaurus Rex was like, I mean, he ultimately, let's be,
I mean, just quick, off the top of your head, scenes that are better executed than that T-Rex scene in the original Jurassic Park, when they pull up in the night, the kids are in the front with the lawyer, Goldblum and Grant are in the back, and Grant's holding up his water bottle, and all of a sudden you hear the thump.
Yeah.
Thump, and the kids are playing around in the back seat, and you hear. You, they're looking, they can't find the goat. Where's the goat? You know, what's the matter, kid? Don't you like lamb chops?
Yeah.
Hits the thing, and the lawyer freaks out and runs away. Oh, it's just that entire scene. I'm getting goosebumps. That entire scene from start to end is one of the best things in film.
Absolutely. I was always wondering where they were going to go with the movie, and they certainly had a couple of homages to theme parks. Like, they had like the tour to see all the dinosaurs, right? And so they had the guy asking, you know, are those autoerotica? He's like, no, there's no audio animatronics or something like that. And it's kind of cool, like, this time around, that you can see, like, the SeaWorld thing, like, that's big in the previews, so people getting splashed with the water, like, it's so great from, like, a dinosaur. So I like those cheeky things that they have about theme parks, so it'll be kind of interesting to see where that goes. I mean, I remember that, and, you know, Mike, you're absolutely right, and I remember that, like, after Terminator 2, came out for the special effects with the T-1000, and that'll bring us into our next movie a little bit. And then seeing, like, Jurassic Park, I mean, that was, like, the pinnacle. I just remember that was a huge jump in special effects for me. When you see that Brontosaurus, you know, in that one, like, field, I mean, it is even, like, now, like, I'll go back and watch it now, and I'm like, this still looks really, really good. I don't care, like, who you are. I want to know, like, how bad was the ending of The Lost World? What was shown on TV, because I never actually read the books at all. So
it's been 20 years since I read the books. I don't remember what the ending of the book was, but the ending of the movie is they somehow get a baby Tyrannosaur. They kept, so the book was they sent a science team to, like, you know, document and research the island. But then, like, the bad corporation also sends a bunch of hunters to capture the dinosaurs so they can put them on display. And in the book, it's really about how there were two islands, and the second island is all about where you breed and populate, and where the first island was the you know, the showpiece and the theme park. In any case, they end up with a baby dinosaur in the bottom of a tanker ship, and there's a Tyrannus, and the mama gets on the boat. And nothing from that point on makes any sense. The big tanker ship creams itself into the port of San Diego. Everybody on board the ship is dead, except the baby's still, under control. And yeah, the mom T-Rex is a freaking dinosaur. It's an enormous dinosaur. It could, get into the control room and eat the people and then lock itself back up. Nothing made sense. And, it's tongue-in-cheek, they had a shot of some Asian people running away from the dinosaur and then, Godzilla homage. And it's not good. It's not good. The third one was not a bad movie. It just wasn't worthy of being in the director's part.
I felt like it could be like a companion movie.
Right, it was like a TV special that you'd show on Thanksgiving, you know.
Right, so, who knows where that's going kind of thing. So, all right. So that brings us to the next movie on my list. So, again, Jurassic World coming out June 12th. The next one I put on here, really just more for nostalgic. I'm still debating whether I'm actually going to go see this one or not. Is Terminator Genesis, which I hear they're trying to reboot the entire franchise. And so, are you guys going to see this at all? Comes out July 1st. Amy, any desire to see any of the Terminator series at all? Or
I've seen the preview, but. And again, I thought the first Terminator was great. It was, different, and, the story was fun. But the sequels did not do anything for me. In fact, I, probably didn't watch them from start to finish. It's like one of those things when they're on TV, you might catch the last 30 minutes of it or the first 30 or whatever. But, no, I was never really a Terminator fan.
Man, it's an awesome one. Mike, are you going to go see Terminator at all, or...?
I don't know. We'll have to see. There's nothing in the preview that gives me any hope that it's not going to be worse than Terminator 3 was.
Okay.
And, when he jumps out of the helicopter, it's just like, wow, he's almost actually jumping a shark. Like, he's figuratively jumping out of the shark. It's awful. The Terminator 2 is one of the best movies ever. The first Terminator is okay. I like it. It's just not my favorite thing. The Terminator 2 is insane. Terminator 2 is a tight story about a father and son, or a fatherly and son-like figure, and it's tight and told in sort of a thriller horror, genre. Terminator 3 was an action-adventure sci-fi movie, and it was terrible, except for the scene where it made no sense, where there was the giant crane, ripping buildings apart, which was pretty cool. I have no idea what Terminator Salvation was about still. I've seen it twice, and it doesn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense the first time I saw it. It doesn't make any sense now. So it's whatever. I don't have a lot of hope because I don't think the people that are running it are... So Alan Taylor made Thor the Dark World, which is the worst by far of all the Marvel movies, and I feel bad for him. He did Game of Thrones, did a couple Game of Thrones episodes before that. I feel bad for him because he got dictated what the script was going to be, and some days he'd be shooting something that he didn't get the script for until the night before or even the morning of, and so that had to be very hard. But that was not a well put together story. It was a sequence of scenes that didn't make a lot of sense, and he kind of made it interesting and fun, but that's kind of what I'm expecting this to be, a bunch of excuses to get from one set piece to the other so they can have shit blow up. But that's not what made Terminator special. Also, part of what made Terminator special was the time and place we lived in. Very fearing the apocalypse. Avengers is doing the apocalypse as we expect it to be now. Terminator, the sort of end of world kind of Holocaust, that's not, The Matrix did a better Terminator 3, right?
In essence, so, yeah, again, it's one of those franchises. I feel like they've you know, make up something new, you know, like, it should have stopped really at the second one. I loved how it was ambiguous. It was left up to the viewer to think about what was going to happen afterwards. The 3-1 wasn't necessary, and they're trying to reboot it, and I think they're trying to change the timeline again, which you're perfectly free to do. You can do that in, like, whatever you want to do, so, but I'm okay. I'm probably going to wait for that. That might be a DVD-er for me over here, so, so the next one coming up is going to be Minions, and that's going to be July 10th, 2015. So this is the first animated movie that we're actually talking about. So, and I do think to an extent Tomorrowland's probably going to be like a family movie. But Amy, are you excited about Minions? I don't know.
How can you not be excited about Minions?
Did you go on the ride while we were at? You were on the ride, yeah?
I remember. I had to do it with the strangers because there were 5 of us. The ride was great. The 3D ride was great. Or 4D, I guess, technically. It wasn't there water.
And fart gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So but that's something like big ones. I know the kids obviously like that one like a lot. I don't know, that ride kinda make me dizzy. I'm not gonna lie to you. So Mike, you excited about seeing Minions?
Yeah, so Despicable Me 2 is my favorite movie of 2013.
Yeah?
By like a huge, huge margin. But part of the reason that I like it so much is, you know, I mean, I'm not a single dad. Obviously, Amy's around and you know, Krista's a huge part of the kids' lives. She's a great mom. But it's, but I, you know, I can relate to the kind of like starting a family over and being, and you know, being kind of alone with girls and not knowing what to do and, you know, and so that whole family unit kind of coming together and that stuff, like, really, really was great. And the overarching spectacle of the story was so crazy, and the Minions are so much fun. What worries me about a Minions movie is that the Minions are the fun thing on the side that kind of keeps it rolling and keeps you engaged when you're getting from plot point to plot point that's not about the Minions.
Right.
I'm really interested to see what the story is. The preview's great. The first preview where, like, they're in the dinosaur world and they accidentally keep killing their evil genius masters. And then the new one where they go to, like, VillainCon.
Yeah.
Looking for the best villain. And I think Sandra Bullock is playing, like, the main villain, I think.
Yeah.
It looks great, but, you know, the first one was pretty good, and the second one was spectacular. I don't know. You know, we'll see. I'm going to see it, for sure. And
I feel like this is when, you know, I think the Shrek movies were really, really great, you know. A lot of adult jokes in there in Shrek, probably more than there needed to be, but, you know, one of the characters was, like, Puss in Boots, and I remember he was a great kind of, like, side story that infused it with a new kind of energy and, like, whatnot, but then he made his own movie, and I don't know if it necessarily did that well. So, yeah, exactly. So, and I think Antonio Banderas is hilarious as Puss in Boots. I forgot what his catchphrase is, like, in Puss in Boots, but, you know, it is going to be kind of tough, you know, because let's be honest, the Minions barely speak any English at all, so I'm wondering how the scenes are going to be without them, or if it's just going to be them. What's up? No, banana. Banana. So, look forward to seeing, like, the Minions coming out the 10th of 7. So, the next one, and I love how, you know, Avengers, and then 2 months later, we are kicking off Phase 3 with Ant-Man. So let me go ahead and talk about Ant-Man first. It's not going to be the original character in Ant-Man that it was, you know, we're all expecting, you know, it's, you're free to, I guess, like in Avengers, you know, by creative control, you're free to pick whatever character or whatever person to inhabit the character. We've always known that the first Ant-Man was Hank Pym, but it's not going to be Hank Pym's character. It's actually going to be Scott Lang, who is actually more of like a criminal. And that's going to be played by, oh goodness, what's the name of the guy who's going to be playing him? It's
Michael Douglas, Hank Pym, and Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd's going to play him, which I am constantly amazed at. I really think that's what Marvel's going to consistently keep doing is picking the right people for these roles. You know, like, Paul Rudd is definitely not a character. Same thing with Chris Pratt. No one knew if Chris Pratt could hold into his own movie, and I think Guardians of the Galaxy was one of my favorite movies last year, if not, like, the best movie. And I think it is gonna. I think people are gonna be pleasantly surprised because people know Paul Rudd again more for his comedy and want to know what he's getting into. I have a friend who worked on the movie. Of course, he wasn't allowed to give me any details or anything like that because it's always like top secret. But he says you're gonna be really, really blown away by some of the stuff. So that gave me a lot of encouragement because it is a character. It is one of the first new characters that are coming out. So I'm anxious to see like the beginning of like all the new characters. So. Have you guys seen any of the previews? Do you have any expectations for what the movie's going to be like at all? Or Mike, we'll go to you on that one.
Well, I know it's supposed to be a heist movie. So I would. What's his name? The Edgar Wright was supposed. The only reason it's being made is because Edgar Wright wanted to make it. It was supposed to be one of the first Marvel movies, I think.
Right.
And it just never ended up happening. And then, I guess he just couldn't work with Marvel inside the sort of like constraints of keeping everything in the same universe, and who knows what the real story is there. But it probably just they weren't a good fit. I like his movies, but like I don't know, they don't fit tonally at all with what Marvel does, like at all. So I don't know. I mean, they kind of had to throw together a way to make it work after you know they had a guy kind of working on the script for a decade. And that isn't him, and he's so unique. That being said, the first preview looks good. It looks a little generic, but it looks good. I like that they are acknowledging that the idea of an Ant-Man is stupid. With the can we change the name of the suit?
Yeah.
In the thing, and it looks to me. My expectation is that when it comes out, it will be the best Marvel story. Because, or it's not going to do well. It's setting up a father and daughter's storyline with Hank Pym and with Michael Douglas and Evangeline Lilly playing an older father and a grown-up daughter, and Scott Lang with Paul Rudd playing a father to a daughter who's a younger daughter, more like my daughter's age. And so it appears that that's what the story is going to be about. And if they get that right, it'll be unlike anything that has existed in the Marvel Universe in terms of the core part of the story being really impactful. The closest thing that we'll come to it probably is the familyness of Guardians of the Galaxy. Uh-huh. I don't know. I'm excited for it because I like all the Marvel movies, and I haven't seen one yet that I didn't like. But there are some that I've liked a little and some that I've loved. And I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you see any of the previews, Amy? Like, does it look like something that's pretty like enticing, whether like visually or like whether from a story standpoint? Like, did it like do anything as far as like, oh, this might be something like unique? Because I'm, you know, whenever I see this, I always think of like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
I've seen it a few once. To be honest with you, I can't even really remember what it was about. So that might be a little worrisome that it's kind of forgettable. I'm intrigued by the storyline, not the storyline, but the concept, you know, of him being able to shrink down to ant size, and so that's kind of intriguing and interesting and new. I'm hoping to be pleasantly surprised, as you said, by the Paul Rudd choice, because I'm not a fan of his, but I'm not a big comedy person. And if he's, you know, obviously maybe it's not going to be the comedy route, and like you said, Chris Pratt did a great job, and that's all he's ever been known for is comedic, you know, stupid comedy type stuff. So, you know, but I think Marvel's made some really good choices with their selection of actors and the writing, and it's, you know, so far they've got me each time, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that worked. So I'm going to trust that they know more than I do.
All right.
We'll see it. I'm sure I will see it at least once. Mike might see it more than that if it's that great of a story. But so we'll see. I'm excited to see new characters because as much as I like Thor and Hulk and stuff like that, it's like these characters are you've seen them enough on screen. I'm excited about a new generation or not necessarily a new generation, but the next group of superheroes. So. Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. That's interesting with the coming in with the Avengers. So
I like it. I'm pretty excited for this. You know, I hope it does like really, really well. Now the next one I put on this list. So Ant-Man again. Ant-Man will be coming out July 17th. All right, so the next one will be the second to last movie that we'll talk about is going to be Pixels. Now, have you guys seen anything about Pixels at all?
Is that the brain thing?
No.
No.
It's Adam Sandler, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the one where they basically send up like a thing by like NASA, and they basically send up like the internet or like classic like video games or something, and they end up coming back with like versions of like Pac-Man and Donkey Kong. I'm pretty excited for like this movie. I'm sure it's gonna be like a fun family thing, but it's very nostalgic for me. Like, Amy, did you grow up at all like playing those Atari games on any level or Atari? Well, right? So, like, we're really aging ourselves here.
There was Atari. And it was around while I was alive, but we did not have one, and none of my like closest friends had one, so I never really played the games. But I remember playing arcade games, like going to the arcade when we were a kid and playing arcade games. So I mean, I grew up with with that. But I'm not, and maybe it's because I'm a girl. I mean, I know there's girls that like video games, but I was never the video game girl. Duck Hunt and Mario Brothers and Simon's Quest I was cool with, but once it got past like regular,
Simon's Quest.
Oh my god, it was the best game ever.
Which game?
Simon's Quest 10 was awesome.
Oh, seriously.
Original Nintendo, but once you got past original Nintendo, like I never got into
Blades of Steel.
Any of the other stuff. Mortal Kombat was alright, but yeah, like classic arcade game. I don't know that I have the nostalgia. I mean, Pac-Man, I always loved Pac-Man, but that's probably it for me.
I love it. Mike, have you seen anything previous of the movies? Is it something that you're looking forward to at all?
I've seen some of the marketing. I don't know if there's a preview or not. I might have seen a teaser.
Yeah,
I have no idea what to expect. I know that it's like there's like giant like Pac-Men in like cities, and I have no idea what that means. It looks interesting. The less actual Adam Sandler there is in the movie and the more Adam Sandler there is doing things around the movie, probably the better. Hotel Transylvania, while not a great movie, is really fun, really interesting and great, and he was Dracula in that. Emma Watson is his daughter, and it's a really fun father-daughter story. So if it's something like that, I think it could be great. If it's just, Adam Sandler doing 50 First Dates again 1,000 times, I can pass.
I love it.
The best movie I've seen him in the last probably decade. He was a chef, and Taya Leone was his wife, and they had like this terrible marriage, and he fell in love with his housekeeper.
Was that Click?
Click was.
But they came around the same time.
Yeah, but it was before that. And that was really quite good, but he wasn't playing a comedian.
Yes, I
know. It wasn't a comedy, it was a good story.
Yeah, absolutely. What's the name of that movie? It had didn't also have
I remember seeing that.
The housekeeper was Latina.
Penelope.
Yeah.
I think it was Penelope.
God. Yeah,
that was probably the best movie I've seen her in, too. Taya Leone was. She was okay.
Spanglish.
Yep. She was basically, Taya Leone was basically like just angry wife number one. But the two of them were great.
Well, she's really hot though. I like
the mom. So Taya Leone was like the hot mom, right? The mom that like doesn't actually pay attention to her kids, but like uses them as like a showpiece.
No, she did. She paid attention. It was really more like lack of their dynamic.
Well, whatever, but she had an overweight daughter, and like so she couldn't really relate to her, and so it was this really complicated, interesting story.
Absolutely,
go see it. Spanglish
was which was refreshing.
Yeah,
the entire way too. So all right, guys, and so the last one that we're gonna go ahead and talk about is going to be Mission Impossible: Rogue Nation, and like you were saying before, like, Amy, did you ever see the Ghost Protocol?
No.
Amy, listen, why are we doing movie podcasts over here? What's going on?
I'm unprepared. I have only seen one movie all 2015. I am behind the times. But, no, my big thing with Mission Impossible, and I've heard good things about the reboot, or not reboot, but that they've come back, that the franchise is, that the last one was great. I was totally lost. I love the first one. It was fun. Tom Cruise, for all his faults, he doesn't make a bad movie. But the second and the third one were horrible. I absolutely hated them. I walked out
you
on the
are
second
wrong.
I walked out on the second one. I was the like, this second is ridiculous.
One,
no, no, no.
The second one is horrible. The third one has one of the best villains ever.
Well, that may be. I walked out on the second one. The third one's completely forgettable for me. I don't even remember the villain.
It was Philip Seymour Hoffman. He was amazing.
So I haven't seen anything except for the first three.
Okay, so I'm gonna agree with both of you on when it comes to the Mission Impossible. I thought the first one was cool, very predictable. Like, I remember, like, Mike and I...
I remember walking out of that movie, and right. you and Mike turning to me and going, I don't know what happened.
No, I know exactly what happened, but I was just like...
I didn't follow.
I don't understand why it was so wrapped up in a neat little package the way that it happened. I'm like, what the heck is going on? And this is... Amy, you missed it on the great... You missed out on this great period of life where Michael Collins, your Pusatera, and myself would go watch movies, and afterwards we'd walk out, and Mike would very much start doing his own podcast right in front of us about what he felt about, and by that point he already bought the soundtrack. You missed all that, Amy, and he would all these like SAT words, and Mike and I would just look at each other like that, like that's our good, that's our good friend Pusatera. We love him.
I missed that. That's what still happens. The only movie I don't get that from was when we walked out of Interstellar and he said nothing, and that was my first clue. I'm like, he hated it.
Yeah.
That's I go, what do you think? And I had this big grin on my face because I really liked it. And he's like, it's the worst movie I've ever seen. The worst movie of the year. And I'm like,
whoa. Absolutely. I mean, I love, you know, the first Mission Impossible was great. The second one, John Woo, which is an action film director, he did a couple movies like, it's called like The Replacements. He had, what else? The Big Hit, his big genre, his contribution to that genre of action movies was the two guns. Like, up until then, everyone always said single guns. John Woo had the whole entire guns, and he'd be like, people would be like swinging them like around, and so Mission Impossible 2 was definitely trying to be like this cool factor, and it was definitely styled. Like, there was, I remember this one point in the movie where Tom Cruise goes down to talk to like Fanny Newton's character and does a spin. I'm like, why the hell are you fucking spinning to go talk to this poor girl who just injected herself with, like, whatever? So that was, it's, and the villain was, like,
on a motorcycle,
taller than him, but then the other girl still mistook him for, like, Tom Cruise or something. I'm like, oh my god. It was so ridiculous, but I thought it was cool back then because of the Oakley glasses. The third one, I'm going to agree with both of you. It's a forgettable movie because J.J. Abrams, I think, has run out of original ideas. Like, I really, everyone, like, hypes up J.J. Abrams to be, like, this great thing. I think he did great things on television with Alias and with, like, Lost World, but he gave up on Alias, you know, halfway. I don't know where that freaking, like show went. Like, it started out awesome, and then it got so mystical at the very end. I think he's done a horrible job of my Star Trek. We won't get into that, but he has. Mm-hmm. And then it felt like another episode of Alias. But Philip Seymour Hoffman, God rest his soul, was a fantastic villain in that. Fantastic. Just unrelenting, and they did a lot of stuff in that movie that you don't, like, usually like the villain is able to, like, save the girl, and even though it's not her, but he, you know, we end up thinking for a little while that he does actually kill the girl, so I thought that was a great movie, but very forgettable. J.J. Abrams. Ghost Protocol, Mike, what was, like, why did you feel like that invigorated the series back up?
It's just a good movie.
I mean,
it's similar a little bit to the first one, but it's just a good movie. What made the first one great, you know, was the action spectacle served the story in a way that in a lot of action movies, like, for instance, in Fast and Furious 6, when they're doing that car chase scene with the tank on the bridges, and like that, there's no purpose to that scene at all. Like, there's no consequence at all to anything in the scene. It's just like, we want a tank on a bridge, so let's do it. And it was fun. But in the first Mission Impossible, all the action sequences, like when he's in that, like, clean room, and when they're on the train, and, you know, everything in that, and even the first, you know, opening sequence when Stephen Baldwin gets killed, it all works perfectly.
Emilio Estevez.
You're right. I'm sorry. Close. I was close. Both forgettable brothers. this one, the same thing. The action sequences were great. The opening sequence is great. The whole stuff between him and Jeremy Renner, I think, works really well. The girl was great in it. Simon Pegg, for all of his quirkiness, works really well. It's kind of the, you know, the that same kind of guy he always plays. The sequence in Dubai or wherever the hell they are, where he's on the end of the building, that's a perfect Mission Impossible sequence. It
Right. Proves
the story. It gets you where you need to go. It's impossible, and they make it work. The ending is pretty good. I really like the car stuff, but like they try to make turning a computer off exciting, and that's hard to do. But it's a good movie. It's a really good movie. It's probably the worst movie he's made in the last 4 years or 5 years, and it's still pretty good.
Oh God! Well, you know, poor Tom Cruise has like
he's made some really good movies lately.
Really? What do you think is great that he's made?
Oblivion was excellent. Excellent.
Really?
Oblivion was excellent. One of the better sci-fi movies I've seen in ages.
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie.
I love Jack Reacher. Jack, you saw Jack Reacher with me, didn't you?
I didn't see it in the theater. Here's the thing about Jack Reacher. I watched it. Well, maybe I don't think I saw it in the theaters. I think I saw it here with you. And then it was maybe 3 or 4 months ago, Mike had gone out to the park, the astronomy park, to do some photography, and it was so cold out, and I was a wuss, so I stayed home, and I was like, well, what am I going to do? So I was looking for a movie, and I'm like, oh, Jack Reacher. I remember Mike saying that was good, and I watched it, and it wasn't until about 20 minutes before the end that I realized that I had already seen it. Like, it was, that's how forgettable it was, and it was when they're in the quarry, and like the, you know.
But it's a
and I'm movie. Like, son of a bitch, I have seen this. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, I just wasted an hour and a half. But yeah, I mean,
but it's a good movie.
It's a good movie to see once, but yeah, I don't know. I would have knowingly watched it a second time.
I'm not arguing it's a great piece of filmography.
But Oblivion, I really liked.
Oblivion
was great.
Oblivion was really good. And there's, what else has he been in recently? There was something else that he was in that was really good too.
What's up?
When does it come out?
July something.
Oh, Mission Impossible? Rogue?
Yeah.
Nation? July 31st. And so this one has a pretty good premise. You know, you have basically like the, there exists an anti-IMF, which is pretty cool, you know, to, instead of like having like, you know, you've seen like rival agents, but it's kind of cool to have a whole entire rogue or a rival, agency together, like a team of people, like basically, you know.
This is
the movie where he's dying.
Yes,
but I haven't seen that one.
This is when I was going to tell you that we had a movie we were talking about that is just like Fast and the Furious 6. Fast and the Furious 6 is all about the, you know, the mirror image team, right? The bad. You know, Dom team.
Not near, but close.
It's, right, and then this is going to be the same kind of thing. He's going to be in a movie called Van Helsing. That's very odd.
Van Helsing?
Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Edge of Tomorrow, he was also in.
Yeah, that was good.
And before Ghost Protocol, he was in Night and Day, which was also good. Not great, but good. Okay. That was when Cameron Diaz, he's like a super spy, and Cameron Diaz like kind of like falls into like a plot involving him, and like she ends up on a plane that he kills everybody on the plane, and like he keeps her alive. And did you ever see it, Richie? Night and Day.
What movie is this? Are you talking about?
Tom Cruise is a spy, and Cameron Diaz is like just like this boring life, and she just
Night and Day.
Yeah.
That's true. I did not see that. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like
you would like Night and Day.
Tom Cruise was one of my favorite, like, you know, actors when I was growing up. But then he just got so nutty in his, like, you know, his like real life that I really just it just turned me off to go watch his movies. But that one's a good one.
I didn't see Rock of Ages. I don't know if that was any good. Mm-hmm. But since that one, Night and Day, Ghost Protocol, Oblivion, Jack Reacher and Edge of Tomorrow.